You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai Show with Dan Roebuck, Jamie Spence and Jack Hayward.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai Show as we look ahead to the first major of the year, the Masters at Augusta, where Sergio Garcia will be defending his hard-fought title.
Obviously, this is something I wanted to do for a long time, but it felt like a little bit of a drama, maybe, obviously with a happy ending.
Meanwhile, Rory McIlroy's desire to don an elusive green jacket remains as powerful as ever.
You know, this will be the fourth time that I go back to Augusta and try to complete the career Grand Slam. You know, if I'm able to do it one day, I'll go down in one of the most elite clubs ever, not just in golf, but probably in sport.
We've a full and comprehensive preview of one of the most eagerly anticipated events in sports. Plus, you'll hear more from Garcia and McIlroy, as well as Jordan Spieth, Justin Rose, and Alex Noren. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and this week I'm joined by former European Tour winner Jamie Spence and Golfing World producer Jack Hayward. Jamie, how are you?
Pretty good, thanks. Man, good weekend. Watched the golf. Great win from Poulter, so you're all good.
Jack, it's bubbling away nicely ahead of the first major of the year, and Pulse was fantastic last night, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was absolutely brilliant. And yeah, I mean, what better week to be talking about golf than Masters Week? It's very exciting.
No European Tour event to review, of course, this week, so that gives us plenty of time to build up to the first major of the year, the Masters at Augusta National. Jamie, what do you most look forward to when it comes to the Masters?
Everything about it. Everything. I love watching the golf there. Love looking at the flowers, a huge gallery. It's the start of the golfing year, isn't it? Especially here in the UK. Everyone sort of wants to get their clubs out again. And it's just drama. And this year, I can't remember it being so open with so many informed players. I think the world of golf is the strongest it's ever been in terms of the professional game.
Is this the best major? I know that we should be a bit more Eurocentric and talk about the Open, but it's the same course every single year. The same players tend to do well. It's hyped up. It is the first of the calendar year. Do you get that feeling?
I think the Open is the one for the golfing purists, of course, but I think the Masters is all about the pomp and ceremony, isn't it? That's what I love about it. I love all the cheesy stuff, all the flowers, all the beauty shots, the glorious white sand, the butler cabin, all of the nonsense that surrounds it, and it makes it kind of the glitziest major, doesn't it?
Favourite Masters moments then, because there have been an awful lot that we can take a look back on. Jack, anything that stands out in your mind when you've watched it on the box over the years?
I think the one that comes immediately to mind, of course, is Tiger Woods' chip at 16 in 2005. Lots of people forget he then actually bogeyed the next hole, the 17th, so ended up in the playoff with DeMarco, coming out on top in the end for the fourth green jacket of his. But I think my Masters memories go back to 1996, which gives you an insight into how sad I am, because yeah. I was 6 years old at the time. That's my first memory.
That's fine.
Seeing Faldo make that 13-shot swing on Norman on the final day. Obviously, don't have incredibly vivid memories of that, but that was an incredible Masters. And then Tiger's kind of watershed moment in 1997, winning by 12 shots, record total, record low score. Just a phenomenal performance. And for a 21-year-old kid playing in his first ever Masters as a professional.
Jamie, what stands out for you over the years?
Go back a bit further than that, obviously significantly older than Jack here. My first real memory of the Masters would be Seve when he won there in 1980. I was a 17-year-old back then, just getting into the county team and really getting into my golf. Seve, the first European to win the Masters. Go forward 6 years, Jack Nicklaus in 86 was, for me, the greatest moment. He's my golfing hero. So the way he finished to win that at the age of 46. But equally, it was the demise of the great Seve Ballesteros as well. He dumped it in the water on 15 when he was leading. And we never really saw the same player again after that, unfortunately. We saw glimpses of it. But that really put him down, you know, in terms of golf, Seve, unfortunately. But what a great, memorable afternoon that was for Jack Nicklaus and that part on 17 with the putter held aloft. What about you, Dan?
There are many, and it usually concerns players that I have supported, usually financially, either failing or gloriously winning. I was lucky enough to back Bubba Watson when he won for the first time in 2012. And that was a sensational finish, wasn't it, Jack?
Yeah, the hook from the trees on 10
brilliant.
In the
playoff. That was one of the shots for the Masters.
Yeah, I mean, you could certainly make a claim that that was the best shot in the history of the Masters. The physics involved in that shot are just completely mind-boggling. And yeah, I benefited financially from that too.
Good. And also last year, the camaraderie between Justin Rose and Sergio Garcia, the low five when they both put it close on 16, was it? I mean, things like that. We tend to think of the Masters as almost a European event because of what Seve Ballesteros did, and then we had this catalogue of European players winning, and we've had Danny Willett and Sergio Garcia winning recently. Have we wrestled back supremacy, do you think?
It'd be very interesting to see, because obviously Seve in 1980 kick-started this phenomenal run. There hadn't been a single European winner of the Masters up to that point, and then he won again in 83. We had Langer 85, Lyle, two from Faldo in the late 80s, early 90s, then again in 96. Ollie in there as well, Langer's second one. It's just a ridiculous run that Seve sparked. So maybe we're off the back of two in a row, aren't we? So yeah, who could be the third?
Well, the reason why there wasn't a European winner is because they never invited us. That's the thing. That's what really annoyed Seve and got him galvanised, and galvanised all the other European Tour players, because we felt we had a point to prove.
Why do our players play well, or why have they played well? Does it suit a European game?
Well, obviously it does.
How? Why?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer, because there's been so many different winners. We've got a lot of control players that have won. Thinking of Langer and Alathabal, we've got the flair players of Woosnam. Nick's a massive control player back then. But since then, they've lengthened the golf course, and I think it's put a whole new dynamic on the event.
Between 1996 and 2016, of course, we had a 20-year gap of no European Tour winners at all. So Danny Willett ended that run. I think it's a case of kind of seeing is believing. I think that's what Seve sparked, and that's what he triggered in the other European players. And I think that may be the case again now with two European winners in a row.
Well, before we crack on with looking ahead to this year, let's rewind the clock back 12 months and an epic final round where Ryder Cup teammates Sergio Garcia and Justin Rose went at it over 18 spellbinding holes of golf. And it was the Spaniard who prevailed in a playoff to win his first ever major.
Where my head was at sometimes, I did think about, am I ever going to win one? You know, I've had so many good chances, and either I lost them or someone has, you know, done something extraordinary to beat me. So it did cross my mind. But lately, you know, I've been getting some good help, and I've been thinking a little bit different, a little bit more positive, and kind of accepting too that if it for whatever reason didn't happen, my life is still going to go on. It's not going to be a disaster. But it's happened.
After 73 majors, 22 top 10s, 12 top 5s, 6 top 3s, and 4 runners-up, Sergio finally got his hands on a major title. Jamie, it wasn't without a wobble, though, was it, last year?
Well, no, it wasn't. I mean, he missed that putt on 16. They both hit it close there. Sergio's putt was pretty weak. I don't think either of them putted that well the last few holes. The pressure was obviously getting to him. And it's difficult to really cheer for one over another, I felt. You know, being so close to Justin and Sergio, he wanted them both to win. I think the heart slightly leaned towards Sergio, and he just got the job done in that first hole of playoff. Fantastic for him. I mean, really, he's just got that monkey off his back.
Previously suggested, Jack, that he didn't really like the Masters. There's one or two quotes over the years that suggested it didn't suit his eye, but boy, he really enjoyed it last year.
Well, he said famously in a post-round interview, didn't he, that he will never win the Masters. He actually was as forthright as to say that. But yeah, no, it was fantastic to see the release of emotion when he held that putt, and did it the right way as well, finishing with a birdie in that playoff when he didn't have to, because Rose was set to bogey that hole, or double bogey it. So for Garcia to hole out for a three there was absolutely fantastic.
And it would have been, of course, Seve's 60th birthday on the Sunday. Fairly decent form over the course of the last year. Further win on the European Tour in 2017. Scored in Singapore as well on the Asian Tour. What are we expecting from Sergio Garcia this week? Because people tell me, and obviously I'll never know because I'm not going to win a professional golf tournament, but Jamie, people tell me when you defend and the focus is on you, certainly at a major, you're going to get all the media duty and so on and so forth. Does it make it vastly different for players?
Yes, it does. But I tell you what, he's sneaking under the radar, isn't he? Because all the press now is on Tiger, it's on Phil, it's on Bubba, it's on Jordan Spieth, it's on Rory. Can he complete his historic Grand Slam? So I think all the pressure's gone away from Sergio. Normally, you're absolutely right, Dan. You go back, you have to do all this stuff. He's got to do the Champions Dinner. But do you know what? All the media attention is on the other players, not him. And that could really work in his favour.
Jack, it's difficult to go back-to-back, though, isn't it, in the Masters?
Yeah, of course. Not many people have done that. Tiger Woods, I think, was the third in history to do that in 2002. And before that, we'd had Nick Faldo in 89 and 90. And Nicklaus, I think, had defended a title in the 60s too. So, yeah, not many players have done it. So it'll be very, very interesting to see how he does and how he copes with the pressure. But, you know, he did really well in Valderrama last year. He was hosting that event. So you're talking about media pressures. Hosting an event, surely that's got to take your mind away from the golf. And he went on and won the tournament. So, yeah, don't rule him out.
Do we know what the Champions Dinner is
I've not seen exactly what it is. I know he's hinted towards it being a Spanish classic dish.
A paella?
We've had paella before. Ah. Olazabal served paella after one of his victories. And also Phil Mickelson in 2011, after he won for the third time, in honour of Seve, who I think was too unwell to make the trip to Augusta that year. They had paella again that year.
What would you have, Jamie, as your champion's dinner if you won the Masters?
Roast beef, isn't it, all day long?
Roast beef?
Roast beef in all the trimmings and an apple crumble and custard. Can't beat that.
Absolutely. I'd go along with that,
Jack. I'd weigh them all down.
I'd weigh them all down, wouldn't it? I would go along with that. It's a very good call, Jack.
That's actually what Danny Willett served after he won. And mini cottage pies for starter, I believe, from Danny Willett. So, yeah, a strong menu there. No, I think I'd go down a similar route. Can't beat mum's roast, can you? So, yeah, a bit of roast lamb.
I tell you what, I'm loving your champion's dinner knowledge, Jack. There's no doubt about that. But what about this year's renewal? Before we take a closer look at what sort of narrative the 2018 script will take, let's take a closer look at the famous course at Augusta National in Georgia, USA. Jamie, what is the course like generally? There's not been any changes recently, not been any major changes for over a decade, has there?
No, but it's going to be pretty soft. It's going to be long. They used to cut the fairways. I don't know whether they're going to do it this week, towards the tee, so you didn't get any run. So with the greens being lightning fast as well, you've got to get the ball out there. Unless it's windy, when Zach Johnson won and Danny Willett won, the scores were well down because of the wind and it can play really difficult. That puts it into the hands of the control players, but really, you've got to get it out there a long, long way, especially to make hay of the par fives.
Is it just a little bit lazy, Jack, to suggest that you've just got to be long off the tee, you've got to be able to hit it out there? I keep looking at this every single year and people say, well, you've got to be over a certain amount and driving distance stats to be competitive. Is it a bit of a myth? Is it a bit of lazy journalism just to say that's all you need?
Possibly to say that's all you need, yeah, because I think arguably the two most important things around there are kind of your proximity to the hole with the approaches and kind of leaving it the right side of the hole because of the extreme slopes that Jamie mentioned on the green, the extreme speed of the greens, leaving it the right side of the hole, leaving it beneath the hole. I think that's what Tiger Woods always said was the most important thing at Augusta, and he's a pretty good person to take the advice of. So yeah, I'd say the putting and the approaching is also very, very important.
Favourite holes? We know what favourite hole Sergio Garcia has because he's named his daughter after the 13th azalea. Jamie, which holes catch your eye year in, year out?
All of them, really. I like watching all of them. I think it's the familiarity of the Masters that we like. We get used to the golf course, we get used to the same players playing well. But if I had to pick a couple out, I think I'd pick out the two par threes, 12 and 16.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of drama there, especially the 12th. I think the 12th all week, just so hard to club. We see people going over the back. Not many come up short because of the severe penalty. And 16 is, especially when they put the flag back left there under that slope, fantastic.
Yeah, two par threes for me as well. Certainly the 16th. Jack?
Yeah, the par threes too, but also 13 as well, like Sergio. It's just an absolutely glorious hole, that. And I like that in the modern day and age, that's such a good risk-reward hole because it still plays pretty short by par five standards for those guys. So even the shortest hitters in the field have a great chance to go for the green in two.
13, 15, the two par fives down the stretch. And I always think when I'm watching, and again, usually when I've supported a player, that I think, well, these are the holes that I'm going to see my particular player pick up shots. It's, Jack, not always that simple, is it?
No, it's not always that simple, but they are historically the two easiest holes on the golf course. 15 is statistically the easiest and 13 is second for that. But, you know, even Tiger Woods, when he won in 1997, shot 40 on the front nine famously before going on to shoot 18 under par for the total and break the scoring record. But on that back nine, he made an eagle there, which I think was a driver and a wedge. They've lengthened it a little bit since, but they're fairly easy holes by comparison to the rest of the golf course, but there's plenty of trouble still.
Indeed. Obviously, players will be looking to pick up shots on those two holes. Jamie, where else can players improve their scorecard? Where will they be looking to do that?
Well, there's a few short par fours as well. 7 and 14 come to mind, but not easy getting close to the hole. And I know Jack said getting below the hole is key, but you don't always have a choice with that. It can be a bit of luck. I mean, I think we think these players can just put it wherever they want. But if that was the case, they'd put it in the hole, wouldn't they? So you need a little bit of luck as well where the ball spins and where it doesn't spin. But it's the four par fives. There's lots of eagle chances, the second, the eighth, 13 and 15, and really they all go a little bit right to left, some of them prominently, and again that just helps Bubba with his big cut being a left-hander. So par five's crucial for your scoring.
Type of player that Augusta is suited to. We seem the same players every single year do well. I mean, why is that? I mean, it's, you know, Bubba Watson's won it twice, and you know, there's so many that perform so well. Justin Rose hasn't won it, but has got a great record.
Some courses suit you, and some don't. I mean, every player will plan out his season and play the courses that he really likes, and it just so happens if it fits on a major, happy days. But as I said, left-handers round here with that fade, twice. Mickelson's record is phenomenal. Bubba's won it twice. He's only played, what, seven times? Mike Weir won his only major round there, you know, and he's not long. Mike, you put Brian Harman into that category, actually. Of course, you've got to hit the ball a long way, but of course, you've got to putt well, and the rest of your game's got to be smart as well. So one of those players hits form, you know, they're tough to beat.
I'm always amazed when commentators are amazed when they see Fred Couples, Bernhard Langer do well. I think Freddie Couples finished in the top 20, seven out of his last eight visits or something like that. I know he's not played too much this year because of injury. I'm not suggesting he's going to win, but we get these veterans who just know how to play Augusta.
Yeah, they're two very good bets, Bernhard Langer and Fred Couples, to make the cut, that's for sure. I'm not sure what their odds are. They're probably actually not that favourable given how well they play there. But it's definitely one for horses, for courses, Augusta. And I think it also suits these proper kind of X-factor golfers. You look at Jordan Spieth comes into that bracket because he can put the ball in the hole at any time. Seve back in the 80s, Nicholas before him, Tiger, Phil and Bubba are all pretty extraordinary golfers capable of those incredible shots. You know, Bubba at 10, we've mentioned, Phil at 13, Tiger's just endless list, 16 included. So yeah, I think it's X-factor golfers that kind of come up Trump's Augusta, generally speaking.
So on to the 87 players who will be teeing it up at Augusta National this week. And with various storylines popping up all over the place in the last few weeks, it's shaping up to be one of the most exciting Masters in recent history. And we can hear from one of those headline makers now. Rory McIlroy won for the first time in 18 months at the Arnold Palmer Invitational in March and says it's a really exciting time for the sport.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think the game of golf is healthier than maybe it's ever been, with the young talent that's on display, the old talent that's coming back. I mean, Phil Mickelson winning in Mexico, Tiger, his resurgence from where he was, back surgeries and all sorts of stuff. Everyone's really excited about golf right now, and I'm really happy to be amongst that conversation and be one of those people that people are talking about. But it's been healthy for a while, but I just think everything that's happened over the past few months, people in the golf world and even people outside of golf have noticed. You know, they've started to notice how good a place golf is in. And as I said, I'm just happy to be a part of it.
We'll talk about Rory's chances shortly, but given the winners that he's just rattled off there in that clip, plus his own recent exploits, Jamie, do you agree that this is potentially one of the most exciting Masters ever?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I just think there's so many top-class players now in the world of golf. It's so hard to win, and so many of them are in form coming into this week. You could name 20 players, and it wouldn't surprise you if any one of those players won this week. And it's very unusual. I mean, you talk about you guys like to have a little bet on the golf. As a golf professional, obviously I'm not allowed to have a bet. 10-1 the field. 10-1 the field in a quality field like this, with the quality on show here and the form that they're in. That's extraordinary.
Smallest field, incidentally, for 20 years, 87 going to post. Fantasyland now, Jack. Who would you want going out in the final two groups in the Masters on that special Sunday if you could pick them yourself?
I think I'd go for Jordan and Rory in the final group. Jordan trying to embark and continue that journey towards being one of the best players in the history of the event. Rory seeking the career Grand Slam. And then, of course, Tiger and Phil playing together in the second to last group, chasing them down. That would be incredible to see the old guard doing that.
You see, I'd mix that up. I'd like to see old guard versus new guard in both of those final two groups, but I completely agree with the four players that you're talking about. Jamie, how about you?
Well, let's just go a little bit alternative. Let's say Stenson and Tommy Fleetwood, or Alex Noren and Thomas Peters, from a European point of view.
So
I'd love
European,
to see those
Jamie,
four there.
Come on.
But I know what the question's leading towards, and I want to see Sergio up against Tiger Woods. That would be a nice spiky affair. I'd love a bit of that on a Sunday. And then Phil with Rory. That's what I want to see.
Well, as we said, Rory McIlroy's win at Bay Hill last month means talk of a career Grand Slam for the world number seven has intensified even more. So is some history making on the cards for the four-time major winner at Augusta?
There could be, and I'm well aware of that. You know, this will be the fourth time that I go back to Augusta and try to complete the career Grand Slam, which is a great position to be in. You know, I relish that opportunity. You know, if I'm able to do it one day, I'll go down in one of the most elite clubs ever, not just in golf, but probably in sport. So I know that it's an important tournament for me, but I love the Masters. I love Augusta. I love spending time there. I love playing the golf course. It's the one golf course I'd play for the rest of my life and be very happy not to play anywhere else. So I love it. I love the place. I love everything about it. And, you know, I haven't won there quite yet, but I feel with how my game is and, you know, where my mind is at, it won't be too long before I do. And, you know, hopefully this is a year where I can get into contention and handle everything the way I need to handle it. And hopefully I'll have a green jacket by the end of the week.
Rory's well rested, Jack, after an early exit from the WGC. I don't really think that makes any difference to his form. He sought the advice of Brad Faxon regarding his putting recently. That seemed to work at Bay Hill. What do you think of Rory's chances this week?
I think he's got a great chance. Obviously, he's a phenomenal player. We know Rory is incredibly streaky at times, but Brad Faxon's a great person to go to on putting, by the way. He topped the PGA Tour's putting stats in 96, 99 and 2000. So, yeah, not a bad person to take advice from. And we saw that paying dividends, didn't we, on the back nine at the Arnold Palmer. Just incredible finish that round, five birdies in the final seven holes.
Form figures at the Masters for Rory, Jamie, as I'm sure you are aware. The last four visits, 8th, 4th, 10th and 7th, that does not incorporate his 15th position, obviously, in 2011 when that final round, 80, very much blotted the copybook. Will that still be in Rory's mind? Is he a type of player that can just forget about that? Because everyone talks about it and they will continue to talk about it until he wins it.
Yeah, probably. It probably will be a little bit in his mind, especially when he steps on the 10th tee and he looks left into that house where his ball went. That's always with you, but he's stronger enough in mind to get over that. You talk about those figures about him being the top 10, but I can't remember him being having
not a chance
with five or six to go. No, Jack, you're the stats man.
No, they were very much kind of backdoor top 10s, weren't they?
And that's the way it is, but he's still got a fantastic chance. But it's all around his driver for me. It's a wide open golf course, but you've still got to drive it in the right spot. I know we focus in on his putting, and he has seen Brad Faxon to help him relax a little bit more on the green and see the line clearer, and that's a great thing. Rory is pretty streaky on the greens, but I really believe it's down to his driving. He drives the ball really well, like he did at Congressional when he won the US Open. He just puts himself in spots that other players can't, and he can dominate the golf course and dominate the opposition.
Well, we'll find out shortly if either of you two go for Rory as one of your main picks for the Masters. Let's move on to Dustin Johnson. Will number one, of course, this week. He didn't play last year because he was forced to withdraw due to injury. He has won this season in Hawaii, but hasn't really done too much over the last few weeks. Or has he? Jack, your thoughts on Dustin?
Well, first of all, I hope he's rented a bungalow this week or somewhere with an escalator or an elevator. But yeah, no, he's in interesting form coming into this, isn't he? Last year went in off the back of three straight wins, two of them WGC, so literally could not have gone into last year's event in hotter form. So it's such a shame to have that event deprived of his presence. I don't think Dustin Johnson will win the Masters this week, but you can't rule it out. When he's finished in the top two in the PGA Tour's driving distance since 2014, I think, every year on the PGA Tour. So you can't rule him out, but I don't have him down as one of my absolute favourites.
Yeah, Jamie, as Jack was pointing out there, this time last year, all the talk was about DJ. Now it's not.
It's not because of the form of all the other players and the Woods factor and the Mickelson factor and the Rory factor. And it's strange, isn't it? A world number one, and he's probably the forgotten man coming into this, but an incredible talent. If you listen to Butch when he talks about him, he just says if he starts driving the ball well, look out. That's not been his favourite club lately. Maybe he's just trying to hit it too far. I don't know. He's been working on a cut the last few years to help that control. That won't really help him round here. He wants to hit a little bit of a draw. So he's an enigma. Great talent. Bet he wish he could have played last year because that was a huge opportunity for him. You can't rule him out. But I'd never get the right side of him.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how DJ fares this week, coming in a little bit under the radar. The man who nearly took number one spot from him was Justin Thomas. Just failed. He is second in the world. He has been almost DJ-esque this year because he has been the man that's been setting the standard, Jamie, on the PGA Tour. What sort of chances Justin Thomas this week?
Great chance. Best player in the world, as far as I'm concerned. Won five times last year, a couple of times this year. Just looks like he's getting better and better. Won the US PGA, the last major we had. He's just got length to spare. That shot he hit on the Saturday last year at Erin Hills, that 3-wood on, that's going to live in my memory for a long time. A 3-wood from 309, and he pitched it on the green. Yeah, he's the favourite for me. I think he's the one to beat.
Not a great Masters record, but he's only played there a couple of times, Jack.
I wholeheartedly agree with Jamie that he's the best at the moment. I don't think there's anyone who can touch him. It was just a phenomenal year last year, wasn't it? And the victories included, in a field of 30 players, all winners from the previous season, a win with a 59 in it. One was his first major. One was a FedEx Cup event. It's just an incredible record over the last kind of 18 months. And he just is setting the standards with everything at the moment. The win of the Honda recently, where he produced that fantastic wedge shot under pressure, hold that shot at the 18th at WGC Mexico to force Phil into that playoff. He's just playing absolutely incredible golf. And I don't think the fact that he's He's only played twice in the Masters before. He came 39th and 22nd. They're not too bad. Not many people win the Masters first crack. Well, only one in Fuzzy Zeller. Mm. So yeah, maybe his third Masters is going to be his lucky time.
I must admit, I would be concerned. I am a massive Horses for Courses punter, and I would just think 39th, 22nd is not what I want to see. But, you know, I bow down, or potentially will be bowing down on Sunday evening to you two. John Rahm next. Winner late last season in a big event out in Dubai on the European Tour, Jamie, and obviously he's won on the PGA Tour this year. Has his star just started to fall a little in terms of form over the past 6 weeks or so?
I think we expect quite a lot of John Rahm. A lot's been talked about, and we forget he's so young. He doesn't look it, does he? He looks the experienced full package, but he's still learning his game, and his majors record is appalling, quite frankly. Six major appearances, best finish is 23rd. In a US Open. So he's got it to prove, I think, John Rahm, at this level at the moment. Even though great talent he is, I still think he's putting his game together.
Tends to get very aggressive on certain putts. You can drop shots aplenty at Augusta if you do that.
Yeah, he can get aggressive in general, actually. His reaction to his bad shots, he loses himself a bit, doesn't he? He loses composure. So he needs to get a handle of that if he's going to win major championships soon. But anybody who wins in the wet and wind in Ireland on a Lynx course and can win at Torrey Pines on the first outing last year and then wins another Rolex Series event late in the year in completely different circumstances, completely different course, he's got to have a chance going in this week. But yeah, the last few weeks have been quite quiet for him.
Jordan Spieth's last few weeks, Jack, haven't been quiet. He has been much better recently. Third at Houston. We know that he's a Masters champion. For my money, he should have won it twice, but he didn't. He had that meltdown and Danny Willett took advantage. But he seems to be coming to form at the right time.
Well, yeah, he's actually been in pretty stinking form, hasn't he, the last couple of months? But yeah, showed great signs in Houston. And what better way to go into the Masters? I'm not sure he would have teed up in Houston necessarily unless he was scrabbling around for form, wasn't he, to be frank? But some fantastic rounds of golf there and closing with that kind of 30, 40 footer for par at the last on 18. That sends him into the week with good feelings.
Hasn't won since the Open, though, Jamie?
Yeah, but he's a three-time winner and he's 24. He's got something about him, hasn't he, Spieth? You know, he had the bit between his teeth. Putter was working better. Still not his normal brilliance, but it's definitely getting better. It worries me that he starts talking about the technicalities of his putting stroke and his eye, where he can't marry it up with his putter face. That worries me a bit because that's his strength, but I think he's swinging really well. It's a course he obviously loves. Yeah, he's got to have a chance, and he's a great watch.
He was hurting, obviously, a couple of years ago. The man who was hurting last year was Justin Rose. I thought he was going to win. I think he thought he was going to win, obviously, and off the back of it, he was very disappointed. He said that it took a little bit of time to get over that. He's got a major already in the US Open, but the Masters is something different, isn't it? Finished last year on the European Tour in spectacular fashion. Your thoughts on Justin Rose?
Justin seems to be one of these players that when he really plans something out on a course he likes, he always gives himself a chance. He seems to be able to produce his game when he wants it. Now, it didn't go so well for him this weekend out there in Houston, shot level par both days. In last year, he finished 15th in Houston before he went on to the Masters. He's had a very similar preparation. He missed the match play both times. Yeah, he's got his game in a really, really good spot. You know, that I know he's been doing well with his putt. The stats over in America say he's putting a lot better, but that is still the one area that will concern me. I think TD Green, he's superb. He's longer than you think as well, by the way. He gets it out there. So he's got all the game. He's had a good preparation. This is the one I feel, even more than the Open, that he really, really wants. And sometimes that can just drag you back a bit.
It's always been levelled at Justin Rose, Jack, that you know, the putting, as Jamie has pointed out, is the slight question mark. But if you win a US Open, got to be able to putt to some level, haven't you?
Absolutely. And he is, encouragingly, as Jamie hinted to there, he's 13th in putting so far this season on the PGA Tour, strokes gained putting, that is. So, yeah, so he's definitely improved that area of his game. The tee screen is always fantastic with Justin, we know that. I think he's finished in the top 25 on his last 7 or 8 appearances at the Masters in 2015 when he finished second with Phil. It was the lowest score ever to not win the Masters, or tied for the lowest score, and then obviously second last year. So he loves that place, and I expect to see him in contention.
You don't have to tell me your selections just yet, but is he on your shortlist, any of you two?
Well, he's in my fantasy team.
Okay.
And he was captain last night, and I changed my captain. Could easily change before Wednesday night.
Is he on your shortlist, Jack?
He's not. I think he'll top 10, though.
Okay. Time to hear from the man himself as he revealed his hopes ahead of this year's first major.
My outlook is I'd like just to win the Masters in my career. You know, whether it's next year or whether it happens 5 years down the road, okay, I'd like to win more than one given the true choice, but just to win it once would be amazing. And I feel like I know the golf course, I've played well there, so I know my chances are going to come again. So I'm not putting too much emphasis. My other thought is that, there's really not one blade of grass that is there that was there last year. So it's pretty much, for me, it's a fresh body of work. And that's kind of how I'm going into it. The course doesn't recognize what happened last year. So just go in and build a new fresh week. And execution, that's what Augusta's all about. You can go in playing well, but mentally, you've got to be sharp.
Justin Rose on the Masters. And finally, in this section, and we've got one line on this from our producer, who says, can any of us make a case for Hideki Matsuyama, Ricky Fowler, or Jason Day? So one word on those three. I think Jason Day's got a great chance. What about you two?
Hideki, no. He's in terrible form at the moment. He's capable of fantastic golf, as we saw at Firestone last year when he won the WGC. But he's in, really, really poor form at the moment. Ricky Fowler, yes. Second in strokes gained putting in 2017. And we know how important that is at Augusta.
Is he turning into the new Sergio and he's going to take him 100 zillion majors to win one?
He certainly could be that player. He's falling into that bracket at the moment, for sure. But he's won big events. He's won the Players' Championship and put on an absolute exhibition at the exhibition at the Hero last year. So, yeah, I think he's got a chance. And Jason Day's top of the putting stats so far this year. So I can definitely make a case for him too.
And Matsuyama, sixth in the world. Fowler, eighth. Jason Day, 11th. Jamie?
I don't give Ricky a chance. I just think he disappoints at the weekend. 76 in the last round. Last year when he finished 11th, this is his 8th Masters. You know what, I've been following him a lot. What does he do, Ricky Fowler, that's better than the other players? He seems to be quite tentative with his putting. I know his bunker play last year was an excellent, but that's not going to win you a major. He doesn't drive the ball past a lot of these guys, so I think he's fallible. I think he's obviously the poster boy of golf. He's got a lot of supporters, but I think he just falls short from the top bunch for me. Jason Day, however, is a different kettle of fish for me. He's a tough man. Leading the putting stats, I didn't know that. That's a great stat going into this week. I think he's got a point to prove. He loves the Masters. He's won this year. He's been runner-up. He's in good form. I give him a far better chance than Ricky.
We haven't mentioned Brooks Koepka. That's because he's not playing. He has withdrawn from the Masters due to a wrist injury. We've mentioned it already, but could this year's Masters throw up one of, if not the biggest storyline the tournament has ever seen, with either Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson being fitted for a new green jacket come Sunday night? Let's talk, Jamie, about Tiger Woods first of all. 6 months ago, did you think that you would be sat here seriously contemplating another major win for Tiger?
Not a prayer. Not a prayer did I think that we'd be in this spot where we're talking about him as a realistic contender. It's quite incredible what he's done. I mean, the four operations on his back and he's had a fusion, but he's swinging the club faster than anybody. And the distance he's hitting the ball, but I still think that accuracy off the tee is going to hurt him this week. And I can see him being on the leaderboard. I think his odds, if you look at the odds, I think it's ridiculous, quite frankly, because of the form of the other players. But listen, no one knows it better than Tiger. You just never know. But I think it's very doubtful. He's done brilliantly, I think, this season already.
If he'd have won the other week when he was second to Paul Casey, would you be talking in a different way? No,
no, it wouldn't have made any difference to me. Why did he hit an iron off the last tee there? 190 going into that back flag. That told me a story. I thought, come on, Tiger, you've got to hit the driver. Hit the drive, get it up there, get a wedge in your hand. But he didn't. And that's, if I'm talking about in golfing terms, that I think he's got the rest of his game is there. Seems to have got over those chipping yips. I don't know how he's done it. He's controlled that. His putting is fantastic. His iron play is good. He's a great competitor. Off the tee would worry me, and that's why I just don't think he's gonna get there.
There's going to be a huge focus on him, obviously, but there is every single time he does anything, let alone step on a golf course. So it's going to be same old for him this week, or is it?
Yeah, I think it will be. I think it is a slightly new challenge. I think actually, in a way, there's less pressure on Tiger this time, which could play in his favour. I think I tend to agree with Jamie. I think it's probably come a little bit too soon for him, and what he's done on this comeback so far is it boggles the mind. It's been absolutely incredible what he's done the last few weeks, and I've been getting incredibly excited about it, as the rest of the golfing world have. But I think it's a little too soon, and it's 13 years since he last won the Masters, and no one has ever had a longer gap between Masters victories. I think Gary Player had that same gap of 13 years between wins at Augusta. But it's hard to see him winning this time, but I wouldn't expect him to be too far away, that's for sure.
Phil Mickelson's win was back in 2010. The last of his successes. What sort of chance lefty this week, Jack?
Very good chance. I think the two key stats going into Augusta, as I highlighted earlier in my mind, are kind of strokes gained in approach to green and strokes gained putting. At the moment, he's in the top five for both of those things on the PGA Tour, I believe. He's got to be in with a great chance. And yeah, having become the oldest WGC winner of all time in Mexico recently, he'll be just in a ridiculous headspace at the moment, packed full of confidence.
I mentioned Tiger not winning, and Jamie, you suggested that, well, that wouldn't really make any difference to how I assess him this week. Is it slightly different for Phil? Because when I saw him play in Mexico, when he won that, it's like he needed to get over the line again. Maybe not to win a Masters again, but obviously he looks at that US Open to complete the career Grand Slam. He's got lots of things going on this year. I felt looking at him and watching him play, he needed that on his current CV.
I agree with you, yeah. Let's not forget he's 5 years older than Tiger as well. 26th Masters this is for Phil. That's some achievement. Just playing in 26 of them. He obviously loves it. 3 times winner. This is like going back 15 years, isn't it, with these two? I mean, Phil won it in 04 and 06 and Tiger won it in 05. So that's what we're back to with these two. I wonder if they'll pair them together. That'd be great. I would. Put them together the first few rounds.
Is it not a random draw?
Do you think?
Is it not a random draw?
I don't think it is. I think there might be some, you know, gerrymandering going on there.
It would be great to see him play together.
You've got to give Phil a chance because of the record he's got. You have to respect that record. But, I mean, and Tiger is the stats breaker, isn't he? He's the one that sets the record, sets the stats. So who knows? It's going to be great to watch, though.
Sunday night, after the dust has settled on the Masters, Jack, who has finished above whom? Mickelson or Woods?
I think I'm going to go for Tiger finishing above Phil. There's just something about Tiger. I know there is something about both of them at Augusta, but particularly Tiger.
Jamie?
I'm allowed to bet on that, so I'll take Phil over Tiger. But I think they're both figure on the leaderboard at some point, no doubt.
Well, if the green jacket isn't going to come from one of the world's top 10, or indeed from Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson, then for a third year in a row, could a player from the shores of the European Tour reign supreme? One player who wasn't set to be there was Ian Poulter, but after defeating Bo Hostler in a playoff at the Houston Open this weekend, the Englishman has bagged himself the final qualification spot, and we can hear from a delighted Poults next.
It's been a rollercoaster ride, I'll be honest with you. Coming in a little frustrated after last week, but knowing my game's in form, the win just doesn't mean getting to Augusta. There's a lot bigger things on the horizon. You know, it's been a long road the last couple of years with injury, you know, questioning whether I've got a PGA Tour card or not. Tell Thomas Bjorn, hey, I'm here. My game's in shape. So there were lots of motives to come here this week.
That was typical Poults, wasn't it, last night, Jamie?
Yeah, it was. And he's spot on there. The bigger picture, I think the focus has been on getting in the Masters. The bigger picture for me, he's got the 2-year exemption. He's back in the easy inside the top 50 of the world ranking. I think he's 29th, actually. And it just gives Thomas Bjorn a reminder of somebody I'm sure he'd like on his team on a course that he's won at Le Golf National out there in Paris. So suddenly, from looking like his career's on a downward spiral, suddenly he's looking up again. I think it's a big ask for him to do well this week. He's been through a lot the last few weeks, but what a great performance last night. Watched every shot.
Fantastic putt, wasn't it, to force the playoff? And you just knew, I think, that he was going to beat Bo Hostler when it came to sudden death.
Oh, yeah, it was an incredible clutch moment. I said to my friend, literally before he hit that putt, this is going in. There's no chance he's going to miss this. There's something about Poulter over a putt when the pressure's on. It was a Ryder Cup moment. It became match play, didn't it, over the last few holes, him and Hostler. So in that matchup, you've always got to back Poulter, no matter who he's against.
And this is off the back of what happened the previous week in the match play when he was told he was in the Masters and then just before he started his quarterfinal against Kevin Kisner was told that he wasn't. I mean, what does that do to your mind?
Well, he's had to deal with all sorts of things like this, hasn't he? The medical exemption last year, of course, where he thought he'd lost his PGA Tour card, but on some sort of recalculation, he got his place back on the PGA Tour. That brilliant finish at the Players last year. It's been a rollercoaster ride for Poulter over the last couple of years. So it's fantastic to see him back on the straight and narrow. And I think he's certainly booked his place in that Ryder Cup team.
I mean, last week, Jamie, he was packing his bags, or he had packed his bags, according to the man himself, after a poor first round in 35 years on the PGA Tour. No player has come back from as low down as 123rd after the first round to win an event. That off the back of what happened in the WGC match play. How much energy has he expended? Do you think you know the guy? Is he going to be okay to play the Masters? Will he give a good account of himself?
Yes, he will. Yeah, but you're right. I think it's taken a lot out of him. By the way, a lot of pro golfers, you shoot 73, you're on 123rd after day one. You're packing your bags just in case. Because having weekends off are precious for you. So at times, and can recharge your batteries moving on. But he's a phenomenal player, isn't he? When he's in the mood like that, he's brought his old putter, old faithful, back from Medina. Good move that as well for Poults. If Poults' short game's good, and it's normally up there with the very, very best, he's always going to be able to compete, especially in a course like this where there's a lot of wedges. But I'm pleased in that interview that he said he's seen a bigger picture going forward here. Major, he's going to get in the majors now, been top 50. That's a huge thing for him. He's going to get in the WGCs again. He can start looking ahead now.
Not got the best Masters record. He's not got the worst either. What are we saying this week? What's the prediction? Top 20, top 30, missed cut? What do you think, Jack?
I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him in top 20, obviously in great form. And I think he played in the final group a few years back, possibly with Justin Rose. So his record's not bad there, and the atmosphere is similar to a Ryder Cup, so it might bring out the best in him.
Well, common sense would say he's playing well enough to make, obviously, I thought he's swinging the club as best I've seen him swing for ages, especially off the tee. He drove the ball brilliantly, but you've got to think he's going to run out of petrol come the weekend, so I think he'd make the cut. But if he does top 20, he's done brilliantly.
Let's move on to talk about a couple of other Europeans. Tommy Fleetwood, first and foremost. Jamie, European number one, of course, last year, and wowed us with his golf over the course of 2017. Is he a good fit for Augusta?
Well, he is, because he draws the ball, and he doesn't look like it, but Tommy gets it out there as well. So the shape of the golf course suits him. He missed the cut last year in it. He's been making great strides, and I expect him to make the cut here at least. Do I expect him to win? No. I don't know whether his wedge play is still good enough at this level to get him to win the green jacket. I think a little bit more course experience will really help him. But he's making great strides in the world of golf, Tommy, and he wouldn't get a more popular winner.
Not done that much wrong this year. Won in Abu Dhabi again, Jack, didn't he?
Yeah, that final round in Abu Dhabi was absolutely top class. Hard to top that for golf. And with names like Rory also in the hunt there, it was a fantastic performance. And he's had an incredible 18 months, an incredible 2 years to bounce back from kind of the lowest point of his career where he was really, really doubting himself and kind of doubting his swing and, you know, everything that came with it. He's in good form. He's been a little quiet the last couple of months. I'd expect him to make the cut this time around after missing it quite woefully last year, but I don't expect him to win or be, you know, really in the thick of things.
How do we assess Paul Casey, Jack? Winner of the Valspar Championship in Florida, beating Tiger Woods by a shot. One or two unkind comments from one or two commentators that I saw because he went out so early that day, or at least about an hour and a half before the final two ball. There was one or two suggesting that he almost reversed into first place. I don't take that. He hit the front sort of down the stretch. He knew that Tiger Woods was, you know, up in the vanguard. It was a terrific win, and it was a long overdue win because he put himself in positions before and hadn't got the job done.
With the depth of quality on the PGA Tour at the moment, any win is a fantastic achievement. So to try and belittle it is pretty ridiculous, to be honest. It's a victory with, you know, Tiger Woods hunting it and everyone kind of backing him. You know, other big names in there. Patrick Reed is a top, top class PGA Tour player, and he was right in the hunt there. So to come out on top, it was a fantastic achievement. And he's finished in the top six the last three times out of the Masters, so he's got a good form around there too.
Likes Augusta, Jamie, what chance for Paul Casey this week?
Yeah, he's obviously got a chance. It's a lot easier to win when you're not expected to, when you're, you know, 10 groups behind the leaders. I think that's what people are saying, and Paul would admit that as well. But who cares? He won on a tough golf course, played the best golf. Good record, as you say, around here. Does his putting hold up on these greens? I mean, that is the one part of Paul's game that isn't quite up to the rest of his game, in my opinion.
Paul Casey's got to win this year. Alex Noren hasn't. I'm not quite sure how he hasn't. He went close in the WGC, but Jack, the one that he should have won was the Farmers Insurance Open, which Jason Day won, when we had this ridiculous situation with JB Holmes taking forever to take a shot, and that really snookered Alex Noren, who was in pole position to win that day.
Yeah, he was, and he's in fantastic form. He's got three top three finishes on the PGA Tour this season, and obviously the big win at Wentworth last year, the incredible 2015 season where he had the four wins. He's definitely one of the form players in world golf at the moment, and I think it was his first outing at the Masters last year. I think he was a rookie aged 34, one of the oldest rookies in the history of the event, I imagine, but didn't do too well there. I think he missed the cut last year, but I expect him to do a lot better this time around. He's got a fantastic short game, and that lends itself to Augusta, of course.
Because of the way I look at form, Jamie, being a layman as I am when it comes to golf, I'm ruling Alex out because he missed the cut last year. Is it that simple?
No, it's not. It's not that simple.
Not that I dislike Alex. No. It's just, you know, I've got to go with horses for courses. What about Alex's chances in your eyes?
I think he's in the prime of his life. He's 35. He's playing the best golf of his life. And I think he's improved as a player, which would show you that with his results on the PGA Tour. His majors form is very unspectacular. 11 majors he's played in the States and he's missed the cut six times. Best finish 34th.
So I'm right, basically.
You are right. But it's a different player. But the one thing against him is his go-to shot is a cut. Now, that's not a go-to shot on this golf course, has been proved. Ask Martin Kaymer. But he's been working on that driver and he's hitting it a lot straighter and noticeably a bit longer as well, Noren. So with the form he's in, and as Jack says, great short game and a brilliant putter. I've got to give him a squeak.
Well, Alex says himself that his recent third place finish at the WGC Dell Technologies match play sets him up nicely ahead of his second attempt at Augusta National.
This was perfect for me, like a confident, like a lot of confidence from this week and a great kind of, you know, match play is tough. You try your hardest on every shot. And so it's a good warm-up, how to say, but it's not a warm-up, it's a world event. But it feels good to have a week off now to kind of recharge my batteries and kind of see my coaches and kind of fine-tune what wasn't going so well this week and then work on what's going well. So I'm looking forward to the Masters a lot, yeah.
Look, we wish Alex well, there's no doubt about that, and indeed all of the players, specifically the European Tour players, and there's lots that will fancy their chances. Henrik Stenson, Jamie, hasn't had a great time of things at Augusta previously, and he's had enough attempts. Hasn't been great this year, but was sixth, I think, in Houston last night. So maybe he's finding his form again.
He is finding his form again. He's playing well, but I think there'd be other events for Henrik. It's an anomaly, isn't it? His record here is awful. And he said, and I know the reason why, it's his driver. He likes to hit that three wood. He can't do that round. He's got to get the driver. He said he's been, last week even, he hit the driver a lot more in preparation for Augusta. So if that driver works for him, he's got a sneak, but his record would suggest not.
Tyrrell Hatton, like Alex Noren, missed the cut last year on his debut. He's probably a different player now than he was then because he had such a terrific end to the European Tour season. He will put some pressure on himself to perform well, won't he?
For sure. Patience is a virtue, and that's something he doesn't possess in bucket loads, unfortunately for him. But he's had some fantastic victories since that Masters debut last year. Obviously, two back-to-back wins in Italy and at the Dunhill Links defending that title. So he's a much improved player, but I don't think Augusta's his place. I actually think he's a pretty good shout for the Open later this year as a dark horse. But yeah, not the Masters for me. I think you have to be incredibly patient around there, and I just don't think he's got it.
Let's rattle through some of the other contenders from this particular continent. Rafa Cabrera-Bello, he's played well on the PGA Tour over the last 6 months or so. He's still looking for that first win in America.
Yeah, he's played well throughout the world, really, Rafa. This will put pressure on his short game. Chipping for Rafa isn't his strength, and he's going to have to chip the ball, especially off tight lies, which is never easy. And putting as well. I know he'd like to hold a few more putts. So make the cut, don't think he'll contend.
Thomas Peters for you, Jack. Fourth on his Masters debut, which obviously means that he's going to go well this year.
Yeah, brilliant debut last year. And I think he likes to raise his game in these WGCs. You see him tend to perform pretty well. I don't think he won last year on any tour, but did well in a couple of the WGCs. So I think it's these big events that bring out the best of him, like the Ryder Cup on his debut back in 2016.
South Africans have performed well in the past at Augusta. Brandon Grace flying the flag for the Rainbow Nation, Jamie.
Well, good luck, Brown. He's only made two cuts from five starts. I give much bigger chance to Louis Oosthuizen, who's been runner-up here, and Schwartzel, for that matter, above Brown and Grace. Doesn't seem to like it around here.
What about Matt Fitzpatrick?
He has a fantastic short game, so in theory that lends itself to Augusta, but he's not the longest on tour, so I don't see him as being a prime contender for this. But he's done okay there before. He's finished in the top 10, I'm sure.
Ross Fisher, Jamie.
Made four out of five cuts at the Masters, so it's a course that suits Ross. Hits the ball high, hits the ball long. His lowest score around there in 18 rounds has been 69. I think he'll do all right, Ross. He's a very, very good player, tee to green.
Now, Lee Hau Tong won the Omega Dubai Desert Classic this year. And if there is one form line, Jack, that obviously points towards a Masters win, it's success in Dubai, because the previous two winners scored in Dubai.
Yeah, certainly. This is Hau Tong Lee's first appearance at the Masters, so I wouldn't expect him to win. But he came third at the Open last year, didn't he, after that 63 in the final round. So, yeah, maybe he's a dark horse to go well and finish maybe top 15, top 20, but I can't see him winning.
So we've heard about the best from the European Tour. What about those plying their trade a little closer to Augusta National on the PGA Tour? Bubba Watson, first up, two-time Masters champion, slipped to, what was it, Jamie, 117 in the world after some poor performances. He lost a lot of weight. He didn't seem the same player, but he is now because he's won twice in 2018.
Yeah, he's playing fantastic, isn't he? Great performance in the match play. He's in the form of his life, Bubba Watson. He's not everyone's favourite, by the way.
So they tell me.
Well, he's not, but who cares? He's some player. And with that big left-to-right cut that goes about 330 yards, he's going to be tough to... If he just produces the golf he's been playing, he's going to be tough to beat.
I didn't expect him to win the match play. I thought that was something that might be beyond him, but he was very, very good, wasn't he?
Bubba Watson he's in incredible form, and the win at Riviera as well, we shouldn't forget that. That's a seriously good golf track, and there was a very, very strong field assembled there, the likes of Spieth and Rory both teeing it up. So yeah, a brilliant win there too, and it's been an incredible bounce back. But I think he just lost focus, didn't he, Bubba? Like, switched to the stupid pink golf balls just for kind of sponsorship money reasons, I'm presuming, but seems to be fully focused again, and I think it's focus with Bubba Watson that is the key.
Well, before the Houston Open, Jordan Spieth said that Bubba would be his pick to win at Augusta.
You know, I'd probably say Bubba Watson at this point, but you asked me the week before, I'd have said somebody else. You asked me the week before that, I would have said somebody else. So I could sit there on Tuesday next week and say me. But, you know, as someone who's won it twice already, a golf course that obviously fits his game and who has played extremely well over the last couple months, Bubba's as hot as anybody.
Well, that was Jordan Spieth, who may well be backing himself now instead after his performance at the Houston Open this weekend. Other Americans to consider, Jack, you get Matt Kuchar, seems to go well in an awful lot of events, doesn't seem to win any.
Absolutely, he's a serial top tenner, isn't he? I think he's made an absolutely unbelievable amount of money over the last 10, 15 years on tour. But yeah, doesn't win enough, in contention again in Houston as well. So yeah, maybe expecting to be, I think his best finish there's third. So yeah, I wouldn't rule out him being somewhere in the mix, but I wouldn't expect to see him win.
We've talked about Kevin Kisner, a gritty performer who lost in the match play. Patrick Reed, has he got the temperament to win at Augusta, Jamie?
He has got the temperament, because he's a top player, as we've seen in the Ryder Cup. His Masters record is pretty poor, fourth Masters. I know he draws it, but I just don't think he's got the control or the short game round. I just can't see it.
We've seen the likes of Brian Harman and Pat Perez on leaderboards over the course of the last 12 months. Any other Americans, chaps, that potentially will be wearing the green jacket on Sunday night?
Well, Bryson DeChambeau was 21st last year in his rookie appearance, so I find him hard to watch, I have to be honest with you, but it wouldn't be the biggest surprise if he was to contend. Jason Duffner's a good player, but his record here is awful. Mark Leishman, I know he's not American, but he plays the PJ. He pops up in the odd major and has chances because he's a quality player, Leishman. One other would be Ryan Moore, player I really like. That Brian Harman, who doesn't hit the ball very far, a left-hander, he keeps surprising. He does keep pulling out performances, so don't be surprised if he has a showing this week.
Yeah, I subscribe to that too. I think Brian Harman's got a decent chance. Fantastic performance at the US Open last year at Erin Hills. Finished tied second in the end, I think. But yeah, really, really impressive performance. And he does, you're right, he keeps surprising. And that lack of length hasn't hurt the likes of Mike Weir and Zach Johnson in the past. I know that might have been more weather-related than anything else. But yeah, the lefties go well there since Mike Weir broke the duck back in 2003 for the left-handers. So yeah, expect him to be somewhere in the hunt.
Okay. Prediction time. And this year, as I'm sure regular listeners will know, we have presenter versus co-presenter. I'm not quite sure where Jack fits into that this week, but I'm sure we'll work out the scoring. Two picks each. Normally, one pick has to be from outside the top 50 in the final 2017 Race to Dubai standings. But taking into account the qualifying criteria for the Masters, we will give you two main picks. We're also looking for an outsider. 20 points for a winner, 10 for a top 5, 5 for top 20, minus 5 for a miscut. So far the scoring, presenter is on 70, co-presenter is on 15. So maybe this week we'll give the co-presenter both Jamie and Jack's picks to see if we can get them a bit more competitive, because Jamie and friends have been useless so far. Jamie, let's do the two main picks first of all. Who are you going to go for?
Well, someone must be picking your picks. There's no doubt about it. You've had some winners. I can't believe it. I've been in shock, Robert.
Listen.
Shock.
Listen, don't worry about me. Well, concentrate on your own game, you know?
Well, it's just incredible how many players have been formed. Let's have another look at it. I mean, I'd like to tip Rory or Justin here, but I'm just going to go with Justin Thomas. I think he's the best player in the world, playing fantastic. And the other one is Bubba Watson, so they'd be my two main selections.
So after all your Euro-centric...
I know.
Babble earlier on. You've gone for two Americans.
Fair enough. I feel really embarrassed.
Fair enough. You've jumped ship. You will not be invited back into that Ryder Cup war room ever again. Jack, who are you going for?
I'm going for Justin Thomas. Like Jamie said, I think he's the best player in the world at the moment, even if he's ranked two in the official world rankings. And I think he just has that X factor which suits Augusta so, so well. And then Jason Day is my other pick. Top of the strokes game, putting stats. And yeah, got that win to boost his confidence at the Farmers Insurance in January after a very, very tough 2017. So yeah, he's my other shout.
I feel, as the presenter of the European Tour Race to Dubai show, let's just say that again, European Tour Race to Dubai show, that I have to redress the balance here. I'm going to go for Rory McIlroy, who needs a green jacket to complete the career Grand Slam, obviously, and the win a few weeks ago has given him an awful lot of confidence, as we've discussed. And also Justin Rose to go one better than last year. We have seen players finish second one year and then win the next. Jordan Spieth, of course, not so long ago. So I'm going for Messrs. McIlroy and Rose. We need an outsider from you both as well. And the room will decide whether it is an outsider. So no Tiger Woods for you, Jamie. Who are you going for as someone a little bit left field?
Is Matt Kuchar an outsider?
Jack, is Matt Kuchar an outsider?
Is Alex Noren an outsider?
Yes, because I've got him down as one of my outsiders. So, yeah, it's only his second Masters and missed the cut last year.
We'll allow you Noren if you want Noren.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Noren. It's a dangerous one because, as I say, he plays the cut. But I just feel he's a different player. So I'm going to go for Alex. There, back to Europe.
Jack?
I was going to go for Alex Noren, but to boost the co-presenters' chances of catching up the presenters, I'll shift that across to Charles Wartsall, who finished third last year. Doesn't matter what form he's in elsewhere.
Hang
he just seems to always go well.
Hang on. A former winner. Jamie, are we allowing Charles Wartsall?
He's a much bigger... he's probably a 66-1 poke, so yeah, I think that's allowed.
Really?
Yeah, it'd be a big price.
Do you know what? You two ganging up on me again. I am going to go for a true outsider.
Yeah, I don't believe
that. A true outsider. Phil Mickelson. No, a true outsider. And I'm going to pick Kiradek Appibarnrat, who has won on minor tours in Asia over the last 6 months or so. He's shown up well in one or two decent events as well on the European and PGA Tour. Debut in 2016 at the Masters when he was 15th. So Appibarnrat, I'm taking this quite literally when it comes to an outsider. I'm not looking for former winners like you two or whatever you tipped up. So that is my particular selection for a dark horse. Last thoughts on the Masters, chaps. Dan, I think we all agree, don't we? This could be and should be, you know, a real Masters for the ages, Jack.
Yeah, I'm just praying it's not going to be a damp squib with all the potential storylines on offer, but particularly having the old boys back in the hunt, having nine green jackets between Phil, Bubba and Tiger, they're all in great form coming in. It could be truly special.
Jamie, what do you expect on Sunday? What are you going to be watching on telly? How is it going to all unfold?
Well, I can't see anybody running away with it, not in the form that everybody's in. So I think we're going to see a contest come Sunday. I can see somebody on a Sunday having a run, like a Justin Thomas, let's say if he's one in front and one behind, going five under front nine, but it's... Just looking through the form of all the players, I mean, the European players are playing very, very good golf over the last year and a half, and I haven't really tipped any of them up. Such is the quality of the top end of the world rankings. It's incredible. Very lucky in the sport to have so many fantastic golfers. It should be one of the best Masters ever.
Well, that just about rounds it up for this week's Race to Dubai show. Join us next week when we'll have a full review of all of the drama for what should be an unforgettable Masters. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest European Tour news via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat via europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. And don't forget that you can subscribe and review the podcast on iTunes as well. But for now, from Jamie Spence...
Goodbye, everybody.
From Jack Haywood...
Goodbye.
And from myself, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We will see you next time.